Listen, I want to say something to you. You ever get on the mountain of God, don't get off. It takes a long time to get and onto the mountain of God. You can encounter the mountain, but to stay there, to dwell there, it takes time and focus. And when you get there, the air is so clear, the light is so prevalent. It's so easy to walk with God when you're in the high places. It's so difficult to walk with Him when you're not. Amen. When you get in, don't leave it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, don't leave it. Because it's very hard to get back there. Because it's not, you don't have the same amount of light that you have when you're in the mountain of God. You don't have the same amount of strength that you have when you're in the mountain of God. So you're warring against enemies that you should be above, but now you're in their territory. And when you get into the enemy's territory, he tends to work against you in ways that you had strength before. Because you were above, amen? When you're above and you're seated above and you're dwelling above, your enemies are not near as powerful as you think they are. But when you're always in the midst of their warfare and always entangled, you get entangled in things you're not supposed to be entangled in. We are a people that are called to live above. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we are called to live above, not beneath. You got to climb into the mountain. God, we'll teach you how to do that. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, so let's look at this verse 29, actually. It said, verse 28. He said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. Say nothing. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. I speak these things, praise God. And He that sent me is what? With me. That's very important. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Valentine's Day is kind of an interesting day because people that are married together, that's a time they join further together. Amen? But people that are single during Valentine's Day, it's not always the best day. Amen. Unless you know the Lord. Unless you're joined with Him. Amen. And when you're joined with Him, there's never a day that's lonely. Amen. When you know the Lord, the one thing that the Lord can do that no one else can do is take away your loneliness. Amen. People that are married are still lonely. And they're empty. The world's empty. But when you know the Lord and you're joined with Him and you walk together with Him and the Father, the one manifestation above all is that emptiness leaves. Amen. That loneliness leaves. You don't ever have a sensation that you're alone because He's always with you. Now you can say that because out of just the pure knowledge of God, it's like, I'm not alone. I can look at your, how many of you know God's with you? Raise your hand. Well, of course, see, that is our cliche. But in the reality, when you dwell with Him, the way He dwelt with the Father. When you dwell with the Father the way He dwelt with the Father, truly, truly, there's this thing that you're not alone. You're full. There's a fullness that comes with the Father that there's no other thing that can give you. Ministry, listen to me, can't give it to you. Your vocation can't give it to you. Money can't give it to you. Friends can't give it to you. Not even your marriage partner can give it to you. But when you are dwelling in the Father, with the Father, there is a fullness there. There is a fullness, say fullness. There is a fullness that purges all emptiness. And in that fullness is greater than anything else. Somebody asked me all the time, what is the greatest thing you get coming out of love of the Father? I said, the fullness. The sensation that He's with me. Not just saying it in words. Not just having His Spirit on me. But having Him hold me. Amen? Having Him embrace me. When you have ever been embraced by the Father, if you've ever been, and He did that today. Oh, I'm back. What's your neighbor say? I'm back. I'm back. I got a little distracted, just telling on myself a little bit. But I got back in there today. Amen? I climb back all the way into the mountain. Take a little while to get back up there when you're not up there, praise God. Don't tell anybody what I'm telling myself today, praise the Lord. Shh. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we're live streaming. Thanks, brother. Oh, I mean, I'm trying to help you. The second you shift into the Father, there is an insatiable fullness that comes, that immediately, the very first thing you'll know when you have arrived in the Father is all of your emptiness leaves completely, all of it. And a fullness resonates in you, a love that brings a fullness, that brings a confidence, that brings security, that brings this, I'm home. See, listen, if you're looking for that in what you do in life, you're never going to arrive there. If you're looking at it, if you think, God will just anoint me this way, I'll get it. Listen, it'll never, the anointing is only for that moment. And then you come out of that anointing, you're back to who you are. And there are a lot of ministers that live just to live in that anointing, because that's where they find their value. You can't find it there. There's not enough God will ever do through you and for you to give you the fullness that He's already afforded you in Him. Amen? And one of the things the Lord said, I am not alone. Now, He said something remarkable. I want you to go to John 16. He said, I am not alone. I'm not alone. My Father is with me, and I'm with Him. Whew. Glory to God. Okay, John 16, verse 31. It's really important that we hone our compass in this hour. Amen? We hone our compass to the Father. There's a lot of things in the kingdom of God you can hone your compass into. But the highest thing you'll ever, ever, ever find is the Father's great love. Not the visitation of His love, but the dwelling in where He is. There shall you be also. Now watch what He says, John 16, verse 31. Jesus answered Him, do you now believe? Verse 32, behold, the hour cometh. Yes, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own. And you shall leave me alone. Now they're in the upper room. He's telling them this. He says, you're going to leave me alone. He's telling them tonight, there's coming a time that every man, all of you are going to scatter. He's telling them before this night's over, basically, you're all going to scatter. And you're going to leave me alone. Now notice what He said. That yet I'm not alone. He said, yet I'm not alone. Because the Father is what? With me. He had such a confidence that the Father was with Him. He knew that those disciples were going to all scatter that night. He told even Peter, he goes, listen, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. But yet he said, he has such a confidence, he says, that my Father, you're going to all scatter, but I'm not, and you'll leave me alone, but I'm not alone. When we get to this position in God that we're not alone, say, I'm not alone. We truly are not just by lip service saying, yes, God's with me. But no, I dwell with Him. He dwells with me. There is literally warm honey. When you come into the Father, it should feel like warm honey flowing from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes. It fills your soul, your heart, your mind. That's why He said, you cannot say that you know God and walk in hatred towards your brother. You can't say you know the Father. Now listen, you can be born again and go to church and still hate your brother. But you cannot dwell in the Father and hate your brother. That's what He's saying. You can't dwell in the Father and hold contempt. Because there's no way, because those operations are diametrically opposed. Because the Father's love, there's nothing that can stand. All it is love. And when He's done with you, all you are is love. Amen? Dwelling in love. Dwelling in fullness. Notice what He said. He goes, you will leave me tonight, but I'm not alone. So when did the Father actually leave Him then? Well, He left Him at one point in time, but when did he actually depart from him? So that means when he was at the scourging post, taking stripes for you and I, the Father was there too. When he was being beaten at the Sanhedrin court, the Father was there with him, being beaten. When he was on the cross and they drove the nails in, the Father was there with him. When they all forsook him and left him alone, the Father was there with him. When did he leave? When did he part from him? When he said, my God, when he became the sin offering for you and I, the greatest act of love ever in the history of the world, when he became the sin offering. And in fact, he said his visage was marred more than any man, and his form the sons of men. The lawless sin and death that corrupted the entire known world, when the Father withdrew and that lawless sin and death, when he became the sin offering, you couldn't even tell there was a man hanging there anymore. Became the sin offering for all of us. The Father had to withdraw. That's the first time he was ever separated from the Father in all eternity for you and me. For you and me. Say, for you and me. He did it for me. He did it. Put your hand over your heart. Lord, you did it for me. You did it for me. When did the Father come in? When did the Father join him? We knew the Father was with him from the beginning. When did the Father actually join with him in the earth? At his conception. The day he was birthed in Mary's womb, the Father came in with him. The Father was always with him. Always. And the Father was with him to the very end. What does that mean to you? The Father is with us. Say, with us. He's going to be with us to the very end. A love that will not fail. Amen. A love that will never fail. Father, you will never fail. You will never fail. Let your neighbor say, you'll never fail. Amen. I am not alone. Say, I am not alone. I am not alone. We must come to the place in God that we are not alone. Everything we do, we don't do it alone. Every time I make decisions without him, it bites me. Every time I make decisions with him, it invites me. Amen? We have to come to the place where we're constantly with, seated with. Say, seated with, seated with, seated with. Now, I want you to go to this verse. We were in here yesterday, John 14. It's just really hard to get out of John. I've been trapped in John for about a year and a half, and I can't get out. There's so much there. If you just knew what was all there. Whew. I want to rehone your compass tonight a little bit, because he rehoned mine. Amen? He rehoned me. I mean, I'm telling you. I had an amazing encounter with the Father today. I'm like, oh my God. Listen, I don't want to explain this, but when you dwell with him, there is a light, a love, a fullness. But when you're not with him, things get very cloudy. Even in ministry, you'll get very clouded. Things will get cloudy, and you'll start chasing other things. Are y'all breathing tonight? Quiet in this Presbyterian church. You start chasing other things, and you start stumbling in things, and you don't know it. Start losing the things you gained, and you don't know it. The hard part is you don't know it till you get back in the light. You can write this down. The greatest light is in the greatest love. When you walk, now I'm talking about walking in love. I'm not talking right now of walking in love here. I'm talking about dwelling in love there. When you dwell in his love, you have light. You have a light that's greater than any other light. You have a resolve. There is a strength. There's a power. There's a grace There's a might there. There is a resolve. It's a hunger and thirst. It's constantly feeding you. When you're with him, it's like getting in the vine every day is the easiest thing ever. And other people say, I don't understand why, what's going on. But once you're there, you're there. It's easy. And when you're not, it's not easy. Amen. When you're there, everything about the kingdom is there. All he's ever said is that when you pray, you know he's answering your prayer. There's a confidence there. There's a fullness there. There's an acceptance there. There's a security there like no other security. The embrace of the Father creates a security in you. The embrace of the Father to where you don't need as much anymore. Amen? It satisfies. Say, he satisfies. He satisfies. He satisfies. Father, you satisfy. I'll tell you this. When you encounter the Father, the next day, all you want to do is encounter the Father. When you don't encounter the Father, the next day, you don't even know where you're going. Do you hear that? When you encounter the Father, all you want to do is re-encounter. Amen? And when you're not encountering the Father, you don't know what your purpose is. You wake up purposeless. I'm just here to live another day. And life becomes like walking. You ever tried to run through water? Pool, swimming pool, even this deep. You ever tried to run through water waist deep? It's very hard to do. That's what life's like. When you're with the Father, you're not doing that. You're in a place of smoothness, like your paths are bathed in oil. When you walk, I'm serious. It's not like you're tiptoeing through tulips or anything, but your path is bathed in oil. And you know it's bathed in oil. You know goodness and mercy is following you all the day long. Because you're with him. And all you want to do is be with him more. And when you lose it, it all gets clouded over. And what happens is you start clinging on other things all the time. You're looking for other things to cling to and you don't even know it. And it's hard to find your way through that fog. So how do you get through the fog? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. How many are in the fog right now? How many are in the fog? Thank you for those five truthful, the rest of you. I'm having an altar call for the rest of you up here. Everything outside the Father is fog. Amen? How do I get back? First thing, you're going to have to find the will to want it. The Father is the highest known place there is. There's no higher place. There's nothing higher than the Father. Look at your neighbor and say, there's nothing higher. The Father's mountain of love. Now, when I'm talking about that, the Father, where he is, the Lord says, I pray you be with me where I am, that you may know. He says, I will that you be with me where I am, that you may behold my glory. For the Father's loved me from the beginning. I want to bring you into that. Amen. You have to find the will to want that. That's the first thing. You're going to have to want it. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to have to want it. You're going to have to want it. Because that place is the high place. You're going to have to desire, crave. You got to get that hunger rolling again. Amen? Now the enemy, listen to me, he's a master at redirecting your hunger. If he can't stop you, he'll redirect you. That's what he does. He wants to redirect the hunger. Amen? But you got to understand something. The Holy Ghost and the Lord, they're really good at redirecting your hunger into the right place. They're very good at honing. The Holy Spirit's constantly honing you in. If you're listening to him, he'll gnaw on you. How many of you ever had the Holy Ghost gnaw on you? When you know you're out of alignment. I mean, when you know that you know I'm out of alignment, I can't get there. I want to get there, but I can't get there. I wake up and I'm like, I'm blurred. I'm like a brick wall. I try to pray. God's not there. He's there. You're not there. He's there. You're the one checked out, not him. Let's don't blame it on him. Amen. He is checked in. He's waiting on you to check in. Amen? He's waiting on you to check in. But there's a fog there. There's a brick wall there. Listen, that doesn't go away. And that gnawing doesn't go away either. How many can attest to it? There's something that God set in us. When we're in the right place, there's nothing like it. It's like, oh, I'm in the right place. I am where I need to be in you, God, and everything's good. And even if it's not good out here, it's going to become good. Amen? But when you're not there, it's always something gnawing on you. You don't have to have somebody prophesy you or tell you. It's gnawing on the inside of you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. That's the Holy Spirit's groanings. It's actually your spirit is groaning, and He is there with you in a form of intercession to get you where you need to be. Amen? Why? Because God's always, always, always about our best. He wants the very best for us. And what is that? He wants us to find our position with Him in the mountain. He wants the church to find its position with Him in the mountain. And He's never going to stop gnawing until we find that place. Amen? We have to find the hunger. Without hunger, you're not going to get there. And then you have to have revelation. Say revelation. Now you know how to do it. Amen? If you've been around here for the last year, God has been teaching us how to find that place in the mountain. Amen? You know. Now I'm going to share something with you. Again. See, again. All right. We were in this yesterday, so I'm going to jump back into this yesterday. John 14. I remember the day the Lord taught me this last year, this particular part. This one revelation right here, combined with what was in John 17, changed everything. Everything. Say everything. Listen, what your heart is full of is what is where you're going to go. Amen? What your heart is full of is going to come out of your mouth, and it's going to eventually be where you're going to go. Whatever you fill your heart with is the direction it's going to go. You're the steward of that garden. Nobody else. Fill your heart with a tree of knowledge and good and evil, and you'll be eating on it forever. There was a time in my life that all I wanted to do was discover the intel world. Tree of knowledge and good and evil. Man, I couldn't get enough of it. And at the end of it, I found it was empty, empty, empty. It's empty, empty, empty. God's book has more intel than we'll ever have enough. Amen? We have to hone our, from the day you wake up, from the time you wake up, the time you go to bed, you got to hone in. This is Valentine's Day. God wants us joined together with Him. Amen? He don't want to have a heart there broken. He wants it joined. Say joined. Joined together. Joined together. So, you're going to have the hunger, but you're going to have to fill your heart with the place you want to go, specifically. Now you can fill your mind and your heart with all knowledge of the Bible, and you'll be all over the place. There's a time I couldn't get enough. I was over here, I was over here. I would lock myself up for 21 day fast, and I had 15 books. And my thing is, I'm going to read them all. And I did. Studied the generals, I said, I want that. And another general, I want that. Every general I'd study for 21 days, I want to be this guy, I want to be this guy, I want to be this guy. Every time I'd go to Benny Hinn, I want to be Benny Hinn. Then I'd go to Todd Bailey, I'm like, I want to be Todd Bailey without the tattoos. I couldn't find who I was. I was constantly looking at something else. I was in the wrong mirror. I was looking at what God was doing with somebody else. So God put me into the mirror of the Father is where it all changed. See, the Word will hone you into the right mirror. There's nothing wrong with learning. Have to learn. You're going to have to know all these things. But you can't find your identity in somebody else's stuff. You're going to have to find your identity in the Father. And so you allow the Holy Spirit to hone you in. You're going to be into the right. You're going to be over here. You're going to be here, and you're still looking. See, only the Father. The glorious thing about finding the Father is once your heart finds and comes in the Father, it rests, finally. It rests. This is who I am. I am a son. That's not just a cliche. I'm more than a son. I am loved with a tangible love that solidified me in who I am. I am a son. I am a son. Which leads what? To become an heir. You don't jump from being fatherless to becoming an heir. There's a lot of fatherless people that all they want to do is become an heir. An orphan does not go, you don't go from an orphan to an heir. Here's the dilemma. I'm on it now. Listen to me. When you're here in the beginning, God is talking to you about over there. All right? You're an orphan. You're fatherless. And God starts talking to you about who you are way over here. Hold on. He starts talking about becoming. This is the air. This is where all the promises are fulfilled. This is where the lightning, the thunder, you know, the rah-rah, the glory, the power, the global stuff. But God talks to you about this place when you're way over in that place. How many of you ever done that? So you think, when I'm back over here, God, this is what God wants for me. But what happens, He doesn't take an account of who you are at the time. He's only looking at what He's going to make you. Amen? But in the reality of getting over there to joint heir, which we all want to go to joint heir, we have to go through sonship. What sonship? It's not just the revelation. Listen, I was preaching sonship 20 years ago. I remember Lance Walnut called me on the phone one day at my house. A friend of mine said, you need to talk to Lance Walnut. He called me, he was just sizing me up. He goes, so tell me, what do you think, you know, where's God at right now? I said, sonship and inheritance. He goes, that's good. He didn't do it that quick, but it wasn't that, I didn't have him on the phone very long. I was preaching all the stuff, but I wasn't walking there. It's only till you move into the Father that He takes the orphan out of you. He takes the fatherless parts of you out. He fulfills you in a way that none of those things in joint heirship is going to ever do. If you move from, and there are people that crossed over from being an orphan to joint heirship and started moving in their calling and their destiny, and they didn't get the sonship right. And because they didn't get the sonship right, they're all looking for their identity, their value, their worth, their significance, and all that God's doing. And guess what? There's not enough He can do. There's not a more nation He can give you to give you more. There's not enough money He can give you. There's not enough anointing He can give you. There's not enough success He can give you, because it's all trying to fuel something that never got fueled in the first place. The empty part of a fatherless orphan spirit that only, listen, the anointing is not going to give you that. Presence doesn't fix an orphan spirit. I had presence for 29 years with an orphan spirit. With an orphan soul, put it that way. Presence is awesome. Love, say love, fixes the orphan soul. And love is the only thing that's going to completely fix it. Amen? That's why I said be rooted and grounded in love. Say love. But not just love, Father love. Father's love can heal any dysfunction. There is no dysfunction that can stand in the Father's love. Amen? That's why the Father invites you to Himself, where He is, just as you are. He invites you into Himself. He says you have access. By what? By your works? By how much you change before you get there? He says you're accepted what? Say accepted in the Beloved. Say, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm accepted in the Beloved. There's a difference between dwelling in the Lord and dwelling in the Father. The Lord's the first one. He's our mediator. He's the first one we come to the throne of grace. He's dispensing grace. I'm standing over here while I'm saying that. I don't know if somebody needing grace around here. Praise the Lord. He's dispensing grace. But listen, the Father accepts you the way you are. Amen? But just because he accepts you the way you are doesn't mean you always make it over there to him. Because a lot of times we can't get to him because of what we believe about ourselves. Many times our dysfunction and our unworthiness block us from accessing the Father. Amen? Sometimes our ambition blocks us from accessing the Father. We want to go in, run around. Just get me to join air phase, please. If anybody in this world tried to do that, and Pastor Chuck can probably attest to this, it was me. I said, God, I was trying to make an end run around every single way possible, every path you could imagine. Get me to the promise. Why? Because there was something inside of me that was never filled. It was always empty. And I was always wanting more to fill it. And there was not enough more to fill it with until I met the Father. And when I met the Father and I began to dwell with him, I'm like, oh, this thing called love that's in the Father where he is shifted, changed, transformed. It took that orphan spirit out. It took that fatherless soul, the action and reactions of a fatherless person, to where you can spot it immediately now. It's like, oh, I see a lot of me in that person. So that's why you don't judge, because you see all that. But until you get to the Father, see, we are a joint heir generation. But we're also a fatherless generation. And in one generation, God's taking us from fatherless to sons to joint heirs, all in one generation, which is it's almost unheard of to go that far, especially when you think of how long it takes God to restore just the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, just in the 1900s, from there, 100 years to get the offices restored. 1900 years, since it was lost in the Dark Ages. All that time, salvation, even the message of justification by faith. That was from Martin Luther to the early 1900s. Justification of faith, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 300-400 years expired. 400, I think. Think about how long it took, and now God's going to take one generation and take an orphan generation to full-age sons, to full-age joint heirs. One generation, he's going to take us down that line. But he's not going to have an orphan church riding that white horse. And his cure for that is the position that the Lord gave us when he says, my glory I will give to you, the place that I hold with the Father, in the Father, in his love, I'm going to give you this place so I'm not alone, and neither will you be. As the Father sent me into the earth, so I will send you. What does that mean? How did the Father send him? When the Father sent him, he went with him. Say, he went with him. So when he says, at the same way the Father sent me into the earth, when I send you in to your operation of joint heirship, when I send you in to do the works of the Father, when I send you in, you're not going alone. We, my Father and I, will come and make our abode with you. All right? So there's two great things God's doing right now. One is our elevation into the Father's love. Into the mountain of the Father, found in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. The second is the Father coming to dwell with us. In the final ministry of the earth, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost will be with us here in the earth in fullness, just like He was with the Lord. That's why He said in John 17, He says, as I send you into the earth, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. You will not go alone. If we try to bypass that and try to ride that horse with an orphan spirit, we're going to fall right off. Amen. Say amen. Your neighbor say amen. Amen. All right. So you're John 14. Are you with me? That's why He's honing us in constantly, even on Valentine's Day. Honing us in. Honing. I could be a little cheesy, God say, you know, would you be my Valentine? But you know, I won't go there. Watch this. It pretty much sums it up here. John 14 has a way of summarizing things for us. I'll tell you something about John 14, 15, 16, 17. When you're in it, you love it. When you're not, it just doesn't speak to you. Amen? When you're in it, it speaks to you. It draws you. It grabs you. It apprehends you with everything. And when you're not, it's like, that's a good word. John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered, said unto him, if a man loves me, who loves him? Raise your hand. If you love him, raise your hand. Okay, it's all of us. Praise God. He will, say he will, keep my words. Even in John 8, he says, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth's going to set you free. If you continue, say continue. When a man looked in the mirror, here he walked away from the mirror. What to do or do? Stayed in front of it. He continued. Say he continued. We are called to continue in his word till we arrive at destination, Father's love. Amen. If you don't have destination Father's love yet, no sense going to join airship. Amen. If you don't have destination Father's love, no sense getting distracted with everything under the sun, because really His highest and best for you is Father. He came the first to what? Seek and save the lost. What else did He come to do? Introduce you to Father. Reconcile you to the Father where He is in the Father. But come to prepare a what? Place for you. How do we get there? This right here, what I'm about to say to you, is not just words. This is a proven operation that not only got me there the first time, but I was able to get back there. Amen? It works. Look at your neighbor and say, it works. Say, it works. Say, look at your neighbor and say, it works. Got to know somebody. He says, if you love me, if. He did put an if there. He will what? Keep my words. Which words? He didn't say here do, unless you're talking about James. He said not, he's not talking about doing, going, doing law, commandments. That's not going to get you anywhere. He's talking about keep. Say keep. These words that I'm giving you that you don't even understand what I'm saying to you, he said, my Holy Spirit will have to come and explain all this to you. That's what he said to him. He said, the Holy Spirit will have to come and explain it to you. Because if you'll keep these words that I'm giving you here in this upper room, they're going to get you to where I'm at. They're going to get you there. And you have to believe that. And the mere fact of you keeping it every day, it's a sign you believe it. If you let it go, you don't believe it can take you there. I promise you, before God, it'll get you there. And it'll get you there again. If you fall out, it'll get you back to the mountain. Amen? He goes, he'll keep my words and say, and I love this verse. I tried to preach something else tonight, and God said, you're going to preach this. I said, all right. He goes, because there's really only two places now for anybody. It's the Father's love or joint heirship. This generation, there's only two places now. All the way to the Father's mountain or joint heirship on the other side of the Father's mountain. Anything else, you better have your compass home there. If you want God's highest and best, because you keep my word, him my Father will love. Now we know what that means now, right? We understand what that's talking about. Now how many of you know the Father loves you whether you did anything? So what's he talking about? When he says, him my Father will love. Who wants to tell me? I know there's 100 people can tell me. He says, him my, if you'll keep my words, if you will keep my words, him my Father will love. Does that mean the Father doesn't love me if I don't keep his words? Father's incapable of not loving you. He says, but if you keep these, he said the exact same thing in John 17. He said, Father, sanctify them through the truth, for thy word, what, is truth. You will know the truth. If you'll continue with me, you're going to know the truth, and the truth's going to set you free. That was far greater than just knowing the Lord. He was speaking to them going all the way up into the Father back then. He says, sanctify them through thy word is truth. Sanctified. Set them apart now, Father, unto yourself. Set them apart. Separate them from the world and separate them and set them apart unto where you are by your truth. Amen? He said, if you keep my words, him my Father will love. What is he saying? How many want to tell me? Do you want me to just say it? All right. Besides Pastor Chuck, besides all the front row, second row, third people, he's saying this from the beginning. He says, listen, can you believe that I dwell in my Father and my Father dwells in me? Can you believe that I have come to represent him, but he's with me in all that we're doing? These works that I do, it's not I'm doing it, my Father's doing it. Can you believe this? He told him in John 10, can you believe? It's my Father doing these works. He says, believe me, or believe the very works that you may know that the Father is in me and I am in you, because this is what I'm coming to bring you. I want to bring you into a reconciliation with the Father so you'll know the union with him the way I know it. Amen? He said, if you'll keep these words, I'll bring you, because I'm going away. See, I'm going away. And I'm going to come back again. And Peter goes, I'm going with you. He goes, no, you're not the first time. But you will come. I'm going to go away, make a way, then I'm going to come back. And I'm going to receive you when I come back. What did he say? I'm going to receive you where I am. Isn't that amazing? He said, when I come back, not only are you going to get born again, but I'm going to receive you where I am. Why is the whole church always looking about where God is with us? He said, I'm going to receive you where I am, that where I am, there shall you be. All right? So where I am, there shall you be also. I'm going to come and I'm going to get you. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Say, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I will come. And in that day, you'll know that you are in me and that we are in the Father. Say, we're in the Father. You'll know it. When I was in the Father, because I was right there on the threshold today, and I just about was going to quit. I'm like, I'll just live for another day. How many of you ever done that? Just live for another day. I was there. I was plowing, and it wasn't there. And all of a sudden, it broke wide open, man. The honey was flowing. I was in the zone. I was caught up with the Father, and I mean, the Father speaks to me. He goes, do you know that you're in me right now? I'm like, do I know? But he had asked me that 5 minutes before. I say, I'm not there yet. Positionally, I am. You're always there positionally, but reality, faith crossed the line. Say, faith. How did I do that? I kept his word. I just kept going back. I kept focusing. I said, I'm going to get there today. And it just blew wide open. That's monumental, because I haven't been there in a little while. I'm back in there. You know what happens when you're back in there? Tomorrow you want to get up just to get back in there. You don't wake up distracted. You don't wake up with another agenda. You don't wake up wanting something else. You wake up wanting him. And if you're not waking up wanting him, that means you hadn't been there. Because when you're in there, when you wake up, that's the first thing you want. When you wake up, the first thing you want is your cell phone in the world. You're not there. Amen. Say amen. See, if man will keep my words, these words can bring you through the veil. These words will pass you through the veil. And him, my Father, will love. Say, he will. He wasn't talking about just love you. God loves you the way you are. He loved you before you were even born again. My Father will initiate a love to your orphaned soul. My Father will love you. He will bring you into a love where he'll transform that orphaned spirit. And you'll not be fatherless again. Amen. And when you're not fatherless, then you get ready for joint heirship. You can't be a joint heir until you're a son. As a lot of people think they're sons and they're not. Because they haven't gotten far enough to truly know how powerful his love is to transform us. He says, and then, all in one verse, we, my Father and I, will come make our abode with you in the earth. What's he talking about there? Joint heirship. Now we're going to come and do ministry with you. Now we're going to come do life with you. Now we're going to come have dominion with you. Listen, this is going to happen in this generation. We're going to walk in the Father's mantle in this generation, which is the Lord's mantle. Father is going to be with his church in this last hour. The way he was with the Lord, he's going to be with us. And it comes. And I'm close. Hey, listen, if you were out there going to eat tonight, you'd still be waiting to get into the restaurant. So right now, you're already been fed. Praise God. We're in dessert time now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Right now, God's going to move us from orphan to sons. Say, I'm a son. I'm a daughter. Full age sons. With a love that's not of this world, that's going to cause that massive transitional shift. We couldn't get it in a whole lifetime. He's going to get it by bringing us into the Father. And as we're loved, he's preparing us for joint heirship. And when joint heirship comes, he's going to come with us. Father's going to dwell with us in love. And he's going to have dominion in the earth just like he did with the Lord. And this is what the Lord's ever living to make intercession for right now. Harvest that's going to come by way of full age joint heirs in the earth that have been with the Father, in the Father, loved of the Father, and has had their orphan spirit purged from them. Amen. There's no stronghold that can stand in the midst of God's love. He stripped control down that withstood 20 years of ministry. Literally. Some of you are here, no. I mean, I can talk about it freely now, but that thing just, I was talking to Chuck about it the other day. I said, I was so blind to that. I just couldn't see it. But the Father's love stripped that down. Tore that thing down. Amen. Tore Cujo down. It doesn't mean Cujo don't try to rise up every once in a while. He'll come up and growl and no, you are down. He tore him down. If he can tear a stronghold down like that, it doesn't matter what your stronghold is. It doesn't matter what you've been through. The Father's love is enough to tear it all down. You got to get to where that love is. God wants you all to himself. That's why he don't like fighting with you in your jurisdiction. He says, come out from where you are into mine. I can have you all to myself. And every time you do, there is a reward for you. There is a reward in the mountain of God. There is a reward in the Father's love. It's the greatest reward ever is to be loved. And we hadn't even got the joint heir phase yet. We're going to get there. Father's saying, you're not going without me. So they don't even think about it. So he told me today, he goes, you think I did all this for you to go out there without me? I'm like, sorry. You don't want to, but you try to because here's the key. When you get detached and you get out of alignment, what do? You go back thinking, well, God's going to do that. And you start pining after things that only He's going to do for your life. And you're not going to do it without Him, so stop pining after it. Bury it. Go back to the Father. Because listen, when the Father brings us in the earth, it'll be a natural flow. You'll be with Him. He'll be doing it, and you'll know He'll be doing it. You'll know that's not me, that's you. Amen? You're going to see. He told me today, He said, you're going to see the creative realm manifest in the midst of the house. The true creative realm. You're going to see more than that, but it's not going to be without Him. Amen. Let's give Him glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm not alone. I don't want to live alone anymore, Lord. I don't have to. I don't want to. But I don't want to be distracted either, Lord. Father, I don't want to be distracted anymore.